Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Redacted. I notice this empty chair over here tonight. Natalie is not joining us tonight. She has the night off, but welcome in, everyone. I hope everyone's doing well. I'm Clayton Morris. Welcome to Redacted. You got the men's only show tonight. The kids were off school, and it was kind of a crazy day, so Natalie has the night off. But we have a very busy show for you, and tonight we're going to do our first ever members-only live stream after the show. We're going to all hang out, so anybody who's a channel member, we're going to hang out, have a lot of fun. So if you are a channel member, great. We can't wait to you join our locals community. And for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support independent journalism. But we're going to hang out. So this is our first ever members-only live stream, which will happen right after tonight's live stream is over. And then all the news is done. But we got a lot to get to today. We're going to look at the lies the Ukrainian military PR machine that has been spinning media lies. And you wouldn't believe what mainstream media organizations are a part of this. Actually, can you name a few? Just try rattling off a few here in the chat room today to see if you can think of what American media organizations are part of this PR narrative garbage, actually. It's unbelievable. So we will bring you that information. Also, we're going to have a report from the front lines in this war. Ukraine says it has secured a particular town inside of, they've taken over a town, they control it. Patrick Lancaster went there specifically to see if that was true, and we will bring you his report from the front lines. Also, Whitney Webb will join us, because there are some major new revelations, both on the billionaires inside of the black book of Jeffrey Epstein and how he may or may not have died inside of that prison cell. All of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Welcome in, everyone. Hope everyone's doing great on this Thursday night. Hope everyone's doing well. We had a crazy, crazy rainstorm here. So it's like thundering and pouring down. It's like right over the studio. So hopefully nothing happens here. Can you guys hear any of that? Hopefully not.
I don't hear anything.
I don't hear it.
Okay, but it's like, whew, it's really coming down here. So hopefully we won't be struck by lightning or anything else tonight. Hope everyone's doing well. Let us know where you guys are joining us from in the chat room tonight. I would love to hear where you guys are joining us on YouTube as well as Rumble. Good to see all of you guys. So let's see. Yeah, so how does this work, David, the members-only live stream? How will this go down?
Okay, so we're live there right now. So if you're on Locals watching, you're watching the show on Locals. And then after the show is over, we're going to end the show on Rumble and YouTube and Twitter, and then you'll have to be over on Locals to watch. So if you want to watch, go to redacted.locals.com, and you can sign up, become a member, and then you'll see the stream right on the pinned to the homepage.
That's right. Okay, good, good, good. And so if you're watching us on Rumble right now, you can click on the join button, the red button right there, and that's how you can join up the... That's the easiest way to do it, right? It's right on Rumble, yeah. That red button, yeah. Right there. Yeah. Good, good, good. Someone in the chat says, it's Testicle Thursday. That's right. It's a men's only show tonight. And on this show, we believe in biological sexes. We believe in there is a difference between a man and a woman. So, yeah, it is Testicle Thursday here on Redacted. Before we get started with the news, I want to tell you about our newsletter. It's totally free to sign up. If you go to redacted.inc, that is the place to go, redacted.inc, not .com. Put in your email address, hit submit, and then you will receive a welcome email. You need to go to your email and verify it. So you just go there and click verify. It might go in your spam folder. It might go in your junk folder. And then first thing in the morning, we publish the newsletter Monday through Friday usually, but right now for the summer, we're taking the Fridays off. So you won't get it until Monday. But we cover about 5 or 6 of the big stories of the day and try to bring some humor to your morning. This is what a typical newsletter looks like. We, you know, get up the happy Tuesday there on the, you know, and we give a little news nugget plus some things you might have missed while you were sleeping and some of the stories the mainstream media will not cover or ignore. So we put a lot of heart and soul into this free newsletter. Again, it's totally free and it's our way to stay connected with you. If we get banned or blocked on any of these platforms, we'll be able to connect with you. So anyway, redacted.inc It's the place to go to sign up for our newsletter. Well, how many of you have heard of the Ukrainian Public Relations Army or the Ukraine PR Army? You probably haven't heard this name, but you've most definitely been subjected to their work on television, in print articles, radio interviews, all manner of different media appearances. Redacted correspondent Dan Cohen is tracking the Ukrainian PR Army. Dan, what's this all about?
Clayton, I've been saying since the beginning of this Ukraine war that this is the most propagandistic war in the history of human warfare, and the Ukraine PR Army is a really important cog in that machine that has been completely overlooked until now. So what it is the Ukraine Army is an organization of PR professionals who guide Western media coverage of the Ukraine war. Its website says it seeks, quote, to highlight the truth and to fight the lies about the Russo-Ukrainian war. Now, the founders of this project are also involved in a Ukrainian Ministry of Foreign Affairs propaganda operation that I revealed in March 2022. That operation disseminated a series of graphics praising the Azov Battalion, the Ukrainian fascist leader from World War II, Stefan Bandera, portraying coffins of Russian children, calling for NATO to enforce a no-fly zone with graphics of missiles exploding everywhere. And the Ukraine PR Army was launched at the exact same time, and it involves the same people. It's obviously a project of the Ukrainian government and its masters in Brussels and in Washington. And the Ukraine PR Army is directly involved in facilitating Western media coverage of this war. On its website, it credits itself for helping more than 2,200 media outlets, magazines, TV, and radio stations, more than 3,000 journalists around the world, more than 5,500 materials, meaning reports or coverages, and more than 8,000 mentions. It has more than 8,000 mentions on social media, and those materials, it claims, have reached 7.3 billion people. It's an enormous, massive propaganda operation by their own admission. So which outlets are they? I don't know. Take a guess, Clayton. Which outlets are involved in this?
Let's see. I'm just going to say right off the top, the Associated Press. Let's see if the Associated Press, are they involved?
I did not. They don't list the AP. But they might as well be.
Let's see. The BBC.
There you go.
All right. That didn't take me long. I'm just going down the alphabet in my brain. The BBC, CNN. CNN involved?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
CNN's involved. Indeed. That's a shock. The New York Times, Washington Post. Maybe it'd be easier for me to say who's not on the list. There's probably few and far between. Involved. Exactly.
It's the entire mainstream media. Like you said, Washington Post, BBC, NBC. Here's what they list, okay? So the New York Times, CNN, Fox, too many to list. And then we also have the non-US base, France 24, for example. And so that's a tiny fraction of the more than 2,200 outlets they claim to have worked with. There are even testimonials. Here's one from Carl Bostic, a producer for PBS NewsHour. Remember, we revealed that on Unredacted that PBS NewsHour collaborates with CIA favorite, and you could say CIA cutout, funded by CIA cutout, National Endowment for Democracy, Bellingcat. Okay, so here's Carl Bostic, producer for PBS NewsHour. He says, when PBS NewsHour sent a team from the U.S. to Ukraine, the fighting around the area of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, sorry for that pronunciation, was at its peak. NewsHour not only wanted to report on this for its U.S. audience, it wanted to go further by telling the stories of those Ukrainian workers still working at the plant with the Russian military now in control. This was a nearly impossible task, but with the expertise and experience of Liuka and PR Army, NewsHour was able to tell that story. So here on PBS NewsHour's website are the reports Carl Bostic produced. None of these reports disclose that they were facilitated by the Ukraine PR Army.
What you mean? So when you watch these reports, there's no disclaimer, nothing pops up on the screen. We should let our viewers know that this entire report was created in the Ukraine PR Army's offices.
Exactly. There's no disclosure of that. It should have like some kind of maybe some label, you know, U.S. something. Ukrainian government propaganda, something like that.
Right.
But no, there's none of that. It's all secretive. So obviously they're trying to conceal that this is just government propaganda. Here's another testimony from Ana Alonso of El Independiente, a Spanish newspaper. The work of PR Army volunteers has been a great help in finding sources to write articles about what is happening in Ukraine. The network of experts they collaborate with is also very useful. We thank them for their help. Okay, so more, they're giving them sources. We have Gulliver Craig from France 24 saying, the PR Army have been useful to me on a number of occasions. They have a huge address book and also the trust of the people they're in touch with, which can help a lot with getting interviews. They swiftly respond to requests for contacts and also flag up interesting events or stories from time to time. So he's openly stating that the Ukraine PR Army is feeding France 24 stories. Here's another one from James Franey of the Daily Mail. Staffed entirely by volunteers, the Ukraine PR Army provides an essential service to journalists covering the invasion of Ukraine. Their volunteers have helped my newspaper set up interviews, they regularly send compelling story pitches, and have a wealth of valuable contacts that we've been able to leverage and enrich our coverage of the most important story in Europe since the end of the Second World War. So, more confirmation that the Ukraine PR Army, a Ukrainian government operation, is feeding the mainstream media in the US and in Europe stories and telling them what to cover. They even have, check this out, the Ukraine PR Army has a war coverage manual that instructs journalists what language is appropriate and what is not. So we can see here, the word crisis is not acceptable. There's no crisis in Ukraine because that would mean it's domestic, as if there wasn't a war inside Ukrainian borders for 8 years happening before Russia crossed into across Ukrainian borders. But the term war is, they want you to use war. And here it says Putin's war is unacceptable terminology, which is kind of counterintuitive because we see that in Western media all the time. They want you to say Russia's war because, according to the Ukraine PR Army, all Russian Federation citizens bear responsibility for their government's policy. It's not just Putin. So they want collective punishment. All Russians, it's like a racialized thing. All Russians support this and are therefore responsible.
Huh, interesting. This reads like an Associated Press handbook, you know, like what the AP style guide. Here's what you can say. Here's what you can't say as a journalist. Here's how you should present your reporting. So you can't use the word crisis because that implies domestic crisis. And you can't say Putin's war. And yet, of course, we hear that from the White House. So it appears that the White House might not be on the same page as the Western media.
Yeah, they need to, the White House really needs to get in touch with the Ukraine PR Army and get their terminology right. But my favorite part of this propaganda operation, Clayton, is that they tell you who is a reliable speaker and who isn't. So this part of the project is funded by American tax dollars through the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. Mm-hmm. You can request a speaker on any given subject, and they'll connect you to either Ukrainian military, Ukrainian government officials, or kind of, you know, someone very closely connected to them. Or you can actually ask the Ukraine PR Army to compile a dossier on a person, and they'll determine for you if that person is reliable. If they, you know, do not cite Russian outlets, media outlets. So this is funded by American taxpayer dollars. That the Ukraine PR Army will tell you who you can talk to and who you can't.
So holy crap. So let's just play this out a little bit. Let's say a guy like David Petraeus, right? A known liar, absolutely in the tank for Ukraine on this and has spouted a number of lies on national television. So if David Petraeus, I want to see if I'm going to have David Petraeus on our show, I can reach out to the Ukraine PR Army. So CNN, instead of booking these people themselves, basically outsource this to the Ukraine PR Army. We'd like to have on an expert to talk about military strategy. Who do you recommend? Who do you, Ukraine PR department, recommend? And here's a list of people we recommend. And then, okay, well, David Petraeus sounds like a good guest. Can you provide me a dossier on that person to make sure that that person is in the tank, is fully supportive of this narrative? In which case, yes, we've researched that person. We think that that person would make a great guest for CNN. Like, that's what? What?
Oh. Exactly. That's how it works. So I don't know. I'd love to see what they say about me. I mean, I'm sure it would be a kind of entertaining dossier, but
so, it would just be a one word response. It would just be nope. Sorry.
No.
Yeah. Do you want to have Dan Cohen on to talk about the war in Ukraine? No, we do not. CNN. CNN does not want Dan Cohen on there. Nope.
Clayton, it gets even better. The Ukraine PR army actually relies on other groups to even do this. The most notable, there are three groups they list, but the most notable among them is called Stop Fake. And if you haven't heard of this, Stop Fake, it's a self-described fact-checking outlet funded by the National Endowment for Democracy, the Atlantic Council, a couple of European governments, and indirectly by George Soros's Open Society Foundation. Stop Fake was hired by Facebook in March of 2020 to, quote, curb the flow of Russian propaganda. But they were found to be employing multiple figures closely tied to violent neo-Nazi groups. And the journalist who co-authored the expose about these neo-Nazi groups received death threats and actually fled Ukraine. But then it didn't even stop Facebook from continuing to work with StopFake. So Facebook had no problem with these Nazis, and clearly the Ukraine PR army doesn't have any problem either.
Yeah. I guess they don't really have a strict vetting process to work for the Ukraine PR army. Like, oh, I'd love to see that escaped the dossier that went through that went through HR, their HR department. It says here you're a Nazi. Come on, welcome aboard. That sounds great. We're okay with that, and we recommend that you go on television and do national media hits for CNN and other networks as well.
As long as they don't spread Russian propaganda, it's okay. You know, a little Nazi Sieg Heiling saluting, you know, yeah, going to Nazi festivals, rock concerts, that we can overlook. But okay, so for all of the Ukraine PR army's work, it actually won. It was here in New York City a few months ago, back in May. And it won the Platinum Saber Award for Best in Show at the world's biggest PR awards program in New York City. So, won this huge award. So, congratulations not only to the Ukraine PR army, but to all of the media hacks who made it possible at the New York Times, at PBS, Washington Post. You all made it possible. So,
They had a big event. The Ukraine PR army wins their award. They come to a big, nice black tie dinner in New York City, and they're welcomed. Thanks for doing all of our heavy lifting for us. Anytime we need a guest on a television show or a quote in an article from a military expert, thanks to the Ukraine PR army, they've vetted these people and provided those sources. Thank you so much.
Exactly. I mean, that's like modern journalism, mainstream mm-hmm. journalism, is that it's like you don't think, you just do. It's like they think for you. The Ukraine PR army is going to think for you, and then that thinking is transferred to the reporters, and then here, you know, we at home watching, well, we don't have to think either. Then those thoughts are just transferred to us. There's no
right.
No thinking is necessary.
It's one big narrative on a plate served up for people. This is exactly what Tucker was talking about a few nights ago on his first show back on Twitter. That we don't know what's happening because they control the narrative and they keep it from us. And this is exactly how it happens. Dan Cohen reporting for us in Washington following the Ukraine PR army. We appreciate it. I didn't know anything about this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It is so crazy. It is so crazy. Well,
that
you know,
stop fake just reminded me of Fake Block from Arrested Development. Did you ever watch Arrested Development?
Yes. Remind me of that scene
where he had the fake block app. That was where he created a fake wood block app, and then right. Maybe was marketing it as a what do you call it, like an identity protector,
right? Anyway. Yeah, this is what we have. And so when you watch mainstream media, I mean, the laundry list of those companies on that list, right? CNN, Fox, all of these mainstream media organizations are in the tank and on that page. The BBC, you know, all of them are right there. So not surprising at all. Not surprising at all. And when you think about the PR, when you think about the media lies that we've been seeing over the past 48 hours, particularly around this dam explosion in Russia on the Russian side, it has been amplified. And over the past 48 hours, we've been hearing from the Ukrainian side that they have taken control of certain key cities in the Belgorod region, which is about 1,000 kilometers away from where that dam explosion unfolded. And so Ukraine, if you watch Ukraine social media, you watch Ukraine media, they will tell you that they have now taken over some key cities. So Patrick Lancaster decided to go and find out and go right to this area where, think about how incredibly dangerous this is. I'm going to go right to the city where apparently Ukraine says they are now in control and find out the truth. He was hearing that this was not the truth, and so he wanted to go see for himself, as a journalist should do. Again, the mainstream media narrative on all of this is that, yes, Ukraine has secured this town. And Patrick Lancaster went to find out the truth on this, and he filed this report for Redacted.
I'm Patrick Lancaster, and we have just arrived in the village of Nova Tolzhonka, which is currently reported by Ukraine and pro-Ukrainian forces is under, at least part of it, under control of them. But we're here to go in and show you exactly what the situation is. It's a very dangerous situation, and we need to move fast. So here we go. Ой, не даёт. Всё хорошо.
И налево поворачивай. Там гражданские были, нет? Да, идите по деревне.
All right. So right now, we've moved on to... I'm Patrick Lancaster, and right now we're in the village of Nuvi Tolgonka, just on the edge of what Ukraine says that Ukraine and pro-Ukrainian forces are controlling. Okay.
Прямо, поехали. Ну, автоматик приготовь. Газуй. Где мы сейчас находимся?
Сейчас.
Подожди, Пугачева.
Пугачева улица.
А населенный пункт?
Ну, Таволжанка считается.
Таволжанка это считается, да. Там, да, все, город уже прошел.
Какая сейчас здесь ситуация?
Не знаю. Не знаю, но прилетают. Конечно.
Военных, военных видите здесь? Украинских военных?
Нет. Здесь нету.
Украинских нету.
Как здесь обстановка сейчас?
Там живем нормально.
Нормально.
Вода есть, газа нет, света нет. Генератор работает.
Кем работали? Кто по профессии?
Ой, миллион профессий. А какие? И только кем только не работали.
А жены где ваши?
Жена далеко. Разведенной.
А живете рядышком? Да?
Живем, да, вот мы рядом.
Через улицу.
Ну, 10 минут ходьбы отсюда.
Отсюда осталось.
А где живете? В подвале?
Нет.
А ну дом? Какой подвал?
Ну, проговорите сразу, что...
Дома. Нет, в доме живем. А как?
Как правильно сказал это место?
Ну, это Волжанка.
Ну, это Волжанка. Да. So we've come to this village, as you heard, of Nuvi Tolzhonka. I'm Patrick Lancaster, and this is a territory that Ukrainian forces are claiming partial control of, if not this exact spot, very close to here. And we're here to show you what the real situation is on the ground. Now we're going to move a little bit forward. All right, we're going directly towards the front line. All right, this is very difficult situation because both sides are claiming control.
control of in this area, but as we see right now, this area is controlled by Russian forces. There's no doubt about that. We haven't seen any Ukrainians, and the locals here tell us that they haven't seen any either. So there's no question that this territory in Russia is controlled by Russia, and information coming from the Ukrainian side that disputes that is obviously incorrect. There's a fire too. He gone.
Что там?
He gone.
Поворачивайся, парни. Не надо рисковать ничего.
Да.
Все, здесь свежий
вальс. Это там ничего знаю. Alright, so we just look up the straight street directly towards the border of Ukraine, and it's unclear what is up that road, so we're taking it safe and turning back a little bit just because we don't want to risk our lives for an unnecessary road. But we're here in the territory that Ukraine and pro-Ukrainian forces are claiming as under control of them and not Russian forces, so we're confirming this territory is under control of Russian forces. There's no question about that. Ukraine is putting out lies about the situation of the front line. Boy, and big fire. I'm not sure if it really comes out clear with the camera how intensely dangerous the situation is right now. As we see in this village, no people left, and we're on the edge. So it's not really a safe situation right now, but we're showing you exactly what the situation is on the ground here. Alright, this is the center of the town. It's like a ghost town at this point. We're showing you everything we can. So we've done what we can to show you the real situation on the ground, as we always do. We've shown you what's being reported in the Ukrainian media is not true, not the case. We've shown you exactly what the real situation is. Please like, share, and subscribe. Remember, we're independent crowdfunded journalists. You can support our work with the link on the screen or in the description. We're out.
So thank you to Patrick. for that report for Redacted, as you can see. So again, this was coming from Ukrainian media, Ukrainian Telegram channels and social media saying that they had taken control of the city, that the Ukrainian forces were there. The locals saying that's not the case. And again, no Western journalists there, no one covering that. So again, this is about 1,000 miles from where that dam explosion happened in the Belgorod region, which has been under constant shelling over the past couple of weeks there. So thank you to Patrick for that report. And thank you all of you for supporting independent journalism and being able to get the news out that the Western media will not cover and absolutely does not cover these stories. So thank you guys for that support on that. We've got more news to get to here on the... I'm just curious, Philip and David, what are you guys thinking as you watch that before we move on?
Well, it was
I couldn't imagine being in a situation to where you just don't you're like on edge the whole time wondering any sound you hear, what is that? Is something coming in? You know, and just like trying to make sense of all of it. And to see the media that you watch in the West and see how they're spinning it. And it just like would make like let's say you went over there with good intentions and you thought, you know, other journalists would be joining you and all that other stuff. And then all of a sudden you realize, no, you're on your own over there. They don't even care. They don't care to know the truth over here. Right. So it's like you're fighting that big machine and you're also like putting your life in danger for the few. And I won't say few people, but for the few organizations that actually pick it up and make legitimize it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Philip, what were you thinking?
Oh, well, like personally, I was thinking, I wonder if Patrick's on that list for the PR army, the Ukraine PR army of people you don't trust to have on your show.
Right.
But like Grim said in our group chat while that was playing, he said yes, it does come out how dangerous this is. I'm like low crawling across the room just watching this. Yeah. I feel that too. You know, just like you can feel it. It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's. And of course, some of the journalists who've been in those regions, we know, and if they're trying to triangulate your location, that's why you're turning off your cell phones. There's no GPS. Your phone is in airplane mode or left behind. And you're during these times, because they'll use that tracking information to pinpoint journalists and to hit them as well. So that's how dangerous this is to get this information out. So thank you to Patrick for that. We've got more news to get to here on your Thursday. Whitney Webb is going to be joining us, next to go over these latest Epstein documents and what we're learning about billionaires who are on that list, plus some mysterious information about his death, the Associated Press coming out with some new updates on that. And Whitney has a lot to say about that, I bet. We will ask her about these new Associated Press reports about what unfolded those last few moments in his jail cell. We'll talk about that. We're also going to bring this UFO update. We've got a special guest joining us on this whistleblower testimony. And we're about to learn a lot more, apparently. A number of other whistleblowers are about to come forward. And there apparently is evidence. We're going to talk about this evidence, this physical evidence, in fact, video evidence, that may be handed over to journalists. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a moment. But first, have you ever been given bad advice about your retirement savings? Like, hey, just put your money in a 401k, let it sit there, or put it in the US dollar and let it sit there. Max out your 401k. The Wall Street casino loves it if you max out your 401k. All your hard-earned dollars going right into Wall Street. But the only thing Wall Street guarantees is that they always get paid, whether you win or lose. There's a better way to grow your nest egg. Bank on Yourself is a guaranteed, predictable way to grow your hard-earned money. This retirement plan alternative gives you 100% control of your money, plus it's tax-free income in retirement. That's right. When you control your own self-directed account, it grows tax-free, tax-free. So when you pull it out, you're not paying taxes on it. Guaranteed predictable growth in retirement income with no luck, skill, or guesswork required. Your plan doesn't go backwards when the market tumbles. Both your principal and your growth are locked in. You're in control. Unlike a 401k or an IRA, with Bank on Yourself, you get access to your money for any purpose at any time with no questions asked and no government penalties or restrictions on how much income you can take or when you can take it. Bank on Yourself is the strategy that famous businesses like McDonald's used when no banker would lend them a dime. And almost anyone can do it. Built-in inflation protection. With Bank on Yourself, your money is guaranteed to grow by a larger dollar amount every single year in both good times and bad. So now get your free report with all the details on how the Bank on Yourself strategy adds guarantees, predictability, tax savings, and control to your financial plan. Just go to bankonyourself.com/redacted. That's bankonyourself.com/redacted. Again, bankonyourself.com/redacted. Well, new revelations out of Jeffrey Epstein's apparently not so little black book. New names appearing, names that we maybe knew about but didn't know the details of, billionaires in that little black book. In addition to which, we've got new revelations from the Associated Press, which are doubling down and they want you to believe that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself. New revelations from the Associated Press, which we will get to that and so much more. And our guest today is Whitney Webb, investigative journalist, whom I trust no one better to dive into these details. Whitney, great to see you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be here. Thanks.
So let's, I want to start with the Associated Press piece that came out, and we can kind of go through these documents. And they start off, the very first sentence in the Associated Press piece says, Jeffrey Epstein took his own life. I mean, right at the start, they're setting the tone for how this piece is going to unfold. So what do we learn from the Associated Press about the mysterious circumstances of Epstein's death?
Right. So it seems to me that, you know, despite the fact that you have people, you know, very mainstream, Alan Dershowitz, Julie Brown, for example, even refusing to embrace the official narrative of Epstein's death, that he committed suicide without help. You know, that, for example, those people maintain that he had some sort of assistance in killing himself. You know, it's hard to take this that seriously. And I say that also because, if you remember back, there were a lot of things that happened at the prison the day he died. So, for example, cameras weren't working, specifically the camera pointing at his cell. You had claims and also a lawsuit, I believe, brought against the prison guards for forging records and negligence. And within these documents are those records that were these people, you know, these guards were charged, you know, over allegedly forging. And then those charges were quietly dropped several months later. And now the AP is sort of releasing those and I guess other documents that are trying to paint this picture that there's no conspiracy when it comes to the death of Jeffrey Epstein. And, you know, I'm a little bit skeptical, obviously, because you know, of what I just mentioned, specifically the Bureau of Prison situation, how the prison guards were targeted and then suspiciously not targeted, and also allegations that not long before Epstein died, William Barr himself visited that prison, which was reported, I believe, in the New York Post. You know, all of this is sort of left out of the Associated Press's narrative. Now, it's a lot of documents. I haven't had a chance to go through them all. But again, what I sort of see here is, you know, basically the Associated Press's attempt to approach Epstein's death, not unlike the Warren Commission attempted to approach the JFK assassination, sort of provide a narrative, provide some sort of documentation, but omitting, you know, major points that would call that evidence into question, like the fact that some of these records were allegedly forged, for example. Mm-hmm. Providing us with forged documents, how does that help?
Do they even make mention? I didn't see it, like the camera footage, that the cameras were turned off. It seems like very clear omissions from their report.
Well, you know, this is why I say that it seems some sort of effort, I guess, from the powers that be to try and restore trust in the justice system when really it's at an all-time low, not just because of the Epstein scandal, but because of all the other things that the FBI has been involved in recently, you know, from refusing to release this document from the whistleblower about Biden engaging in pay-to-play politics and all other sorts of things going on there. So, you know, how did they guess they're trying to tackle the Epstein thing and be like, well, actually, you know, this is what happened and Epstein is responsible for his own death and there was no funny business on our part or on the part of the Bureau of Prisons. And essentially trying to quell what they see as a very viral and very widely embraced conspiracy theory that someone like Epstein, who had, by his own admission, lots of dirt on powerful people, would have just taken his own life as he was, you know, allegedly agreeing to cooperate with investigators while he was facing a significant prison sentence. So,
yeah. Yeah, and some of these,
again, I'm skeptical.
Yeah, I think, yeah, as am I. And in these Associated Press pieces, they really try to paint him as having sort of a mental breakdown. But then they kind of bounce back and say, but he had a great life, and there, you know, that he has no reason to want to be depressed. So they do point out, and they try to talk about how he was had his head in his hands over the weeks ahead of time, that he was upset. He was trying to drown out the sounds of a nonstop running toilet in a room. It seems like there was a lot of psychological attention on his mental fitness.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way. But again, I feel like, you know, I'm sure he was probably under duress in prison, because, of course, when he was in prison the first time, it was a very different situation for him, because he was allowed to leave, for example, to go work and things like that. And definitely was not in the type of prison situation he was in the second time. But again, there's widespread skepticism. And I think this is, you know, even before the AP stuff, and this is an attempt to quell that and potentially redirect that, because I think we're having sort of an unprecedented attempt to misdirect when it comes to the narrative about who Epstein was and what happened in relation to the scandal. Because, you know, as I've noted in my work and other people as well, the more you pull on the thread of Epstein, the more corruption you inevitably expose. And so mainstream media has really made a consistent effort to try and limit the permissible narratives when it comes to Epstein, and what crimes of his are okay to talk about, which ones are not, and what is okay to talk about in relation to his death and what is not. So, you know, again, I treat a lot of this with skepticism. I think they spent a lot of time trying to craft a particular narrative they thought would be convincing, again, because so many people don't really believe the official narrative. And again, there's a lot of other things, including logistical stuff about, you know, Epstein being taken on and off suicide watch and why those decisions were made, and some of the questions about the logistical ability for the official story of Epstein's death to be true, among other things. And, you know, for example, his cellmate had a smuggled in cell phone at one point. I mean, there was a lot of weird things going on around this period of time. And also, we have to keep in mind that at the time he died, there was unprecedented media attention on his case from the public. So he was arrested in July and then, you know, died in August. And so that's like over a month of where he's the biggest story really in the English speaking world and possibly beyond. And obviously a lot of the powerful people to which he was connected probably did not want that to continue. And I think we've seen consistently that there's been hope that with Epstein being dead, a lot of the interest in the story would also die. You know, I think that's why you see people like Bill Gates, when they're continually pressured about their ties with Jeffrey Epstein, when confronted, they say things like, well, he's dead. You know, that was right. Bill Gates' response not so long ago. And so I think the hope is, if we can sort of take any of the conspiracy tinge off of that death and, you know, hopefully wrap up the story and memory hole it, you know, I think that's sort of, you know, the goal here, and to try and sort of mute public interest and be like, well, there may be a more reasonable explanation for this stuff that looks really suspicious. But again, if you're having mainstream media journalists on this case, like Julie Brown, consistently not believe it. Well, she believes he committed suicide, but with help, right? And so, you know, that doesn't really fit with the official narrative either. So it's important to keep in mind that there's sort of this spectrum outside of the official narrative, which is he committed suicide without help in the prison because he was afraid of facing justice and a lengthy prison sentence, and didn't kill himself for any other sort of reason. You know, again, at the same time, I also think this is an effort to focus so much on Epstein's death specifically, at the expense of focusing on his connections, the network he participated in, what he accomplished for that network that goes beyond a lot of the activities that are normally talked about, and how a lot of people in that same network continue to be active. Right.
Well, that's so, what I want to talk about now, which is, yeah, these other names, that he's had contact with, the revelations, you know, Daily Mail has obtained a trove of Jeffrey Epstein's private calendars. The same, I think, that we saw from the Wall Street Journal.
The same as the Wall Street Journal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The emails, et cetera, that shows that Epstein had connections, obviously, with presidents and prime ministers. But among the names that I wanted to focus on, billionaire Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel's name showing up there, multiple meetings planned with Jeffrey Epstein on those calendars. What do you make of the Peter Thiel connection? It seems like there's a lot here that we haven't talked about.
There is a lot there. And again, I was disappointed in the Daily Mail for leaving a lot out, of course. So Peter Thiel was meeting with Epstein per these documents at a time when he was had a major leadership role both at Palantir and was on the board of Facebook, which is essentially a company he helped put on the map, being one of the earliest investors in Facebook. And he was connected to Facebook, as I can go back to and circle back in a second, by a guy that was recruited by the CIA when he was a teenager. Sean Parker is the person that brought Peter Thiel on to Facebook. But Peter Thiel was also part of Founders Fund at the time, or was more active, I guess, then than he was now. And one thing that was left out, for example, of the Daily Mail report is that Founders Fund, along with Epstein, Ehud Barak, and Leslie Wexner, poured a significant amount of money into this intelligence link startup called Carbine 911 that even still today has essentially become the provider of emergency services, meaning like 911 call centers throughout the United States, and has a very disturbing pre-crime element and a way of basically mass mining data off of your phone without your consent if you ever call 911 in an area where the center is managed by this particular company, which was founded by Israeli intelligence veterans, formerly chaired by Ehud Barak, who we've talked about before, was very close with Epstein, and not just a former prime minister of Israel, but a former defense minister and a former head of military intelligence of Israel at the time that military intelligence of Israel was working very closely with Robert Maxwell and allegedly recruited Epstein into the fold, Ehud Barak potentially having had a very personal role there. So to circle back why this is relevant as it relates to Peter Thiel and sort of paint the bigger picture here, Peter Thiel created a company called Palantir. It's pretty much a provable CIA front company. If the first three years of its existence as a company, it only worked for the CIA. Its programmers went to Langley every 2 weeks to have them guide the development of the code and all of that. And one of the top guys that Palantir worked with at the CIA was a man named Alan Wade, who at one point was the CIA's chief information officer. And prior to that, Alan Wade co-founded a company called Kiliad with Christine Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell's sister. And she, Christine Maxwell, was involved with Israeli espionage efforts related to the Promise software scandal with her father in the 1980s that specifically involved selling bug software to U.S. nuclear laboratories in the United States. The front company was called Information on Demand and was actually the subject of a major FBI counterintelligence investigation that was shut down from the higher-ups at the very top of the FBI at some point. So you have Alan Wade helping to guide Palantir, and actually Kiliad and Palantir do very similar things in terms of turning troves and troves of data into actionable intelligence. So that's an odd connection. And then the other thing too is that essentially what happened with the creation of Palantir was a deliberate effort by Peter Thiel and Alex Karp to recreate a very controversial surveillance program that was pitched after 9/11 called Total Information Awareness that was going to be run out of this DARPA office by a former Iran-Contra conspirator, John Poindexter, considered to be the godfather of modern surveillance. And Thiel and Karp approached Poindexter with the help of Richard Perle, one of the architects of the Iraq War and a prominent neocon in the Bush administration, basically asking Poindexter how they could recreate TIA, the Total Information Awareness Program, which was, as it sounds, a warrantless mass surveillance program. But it wasn't just aimed at analyzing what people are doing in real time. It also was focused on essentially pre-crime. And Palantir, after its involvement with the CIA and people like Alan Wade, has since then been very involved in predictive policing, as they call it, piloting that, I believe, as early as 2015, 2014, in different localities in the United States. And Palantir is also today a contractor to, I think, all 18 U.S. intelligence agencies. And one of the labels they can apply to people, including domestically, is subversive. And there's a lot of stuff going back to what I mentioned earlier with the Promise software over an effort to maintain a list of domestic dissidents in the United States. Palantir, because of the continuity with Promise, Kiliad, and that, and of course, TIA and some of these other programs, you know, there's cause for concern there. So Peter Thiel is meeting with Epstein, why he's managing involved with these different programs, and his venture capital fund puts money in this Ehud Barak driven, you know, intelligence company that's marketing its services to, you know, American emergency services nationally. And that particular program has a component that they call C records, where they keep a record of every 911 call, an emergency, an event ever. And they use that to predictively analyze where crime will happen before it strikes, essentially. Wow. So it's another part of this pre-crime puzzle. And I really would wish that more people would pay attention to that, because as we see this effort to ramp up this war on domestic terrorism, I think a lot more people should be paying attention to these types of connections, for sure.
What does it then, what kind of fruit does it then bear? Meaning they do this pre-crime analysis. Does it mean that there's more police popping up in a particular area, more surveillance? What does this then turn into when they have this pre-crime information, the Thiel network of American surveillance?
So it depends. So for example, what I mentioned earlier, you know, at TIA and sort of its predecessor and Iran-Contra, there was this database called Main Corps that still exists today of domestic dissidents. And Main Corps was created during Iran-Contra because the goal was to round up Americans that could potentially be deemed national security threats in the event of a vaguely defined national emergency. And per this group, a national emergency could be something like mass nonviolent protest to U.S. military intervention abroad. You know, things of
like
that
nature. An anti-war protest.
Yes, massive anti-war protest. And this was filed under what they called the continuity of government protocol. But I think for our purposes, we can essentially call continuity of the deep state protocol, you know, any sort of major challenge to that particular entity's power, this could be activated ostensibly. And the last person to report on it, I think in mainstream media, was Chris Ketchum and Tim Shorrock in 2008. And at that point of time, it had 6 million Americans on it. It was seen being actively used in the White House after 9/11 by the Bush administration, I think specifically in Dick Cheney's office. So this is a database that's still around today, and Palantir is you know, essential to running it, basically. And what it has today is all of the NSA, everything the NSA and affiliated agencies have sucked up on people through their surveillance warrantless surveillance programs, including your financial records and your text messages and your posts on social media, is all in this Main Corps database. But in order to analyze that and decide who might be a problem, that's what Palantir essentially does for the national security state. So someone being affiliated, you know, with Epstein there is very disturbing. And then the other side of this is Facebook. So as I mentioned earlier, Peter Thiel was one of the early Facebook investors, having been connected to Facebook by Sean Parker, who's tied up with the CIA. And the same day Facebook launched is the same day that a DARPA program that was also sort of involved with this surveillance program I mentioned, Total Information Awareness, was shut down. That was called LifeLog. And essentially LifeLog is analogous to what Facebook has become, which is interesting in and of itself. But of course, you have at the same time that Thiel is meeting, roughly around the same time that Thiel is meeting per these documents with Epstein, he's also going to events where Peter Thiel is present with Mark Zuckerberg, for example. So Zuckerberg's also meeting with Epstein. And it may be unconnected, but I'm sure you're aware that the Wall Street Journal just recently reported that the Facebook-owned Instagram was providing this vast network of pedophiles' ability to operate with apparent impunity. So I don't really know what to make of that, but it's certainly disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, we covered it last night on the show, and I couldn't help but thinking about this Epstein connection and the fact that Zuckerberg and all of this is tied together with these billionaire elite class, and what this means for sex trafficking revelations. You know, I don't know if we can pull all of this together. I would like to. I'd like to figure out. And you know, Mel Gibson is releasing this 4-part documentary on sex trafficking around the world. What this means for these networks and maybe exposing some of these billionaire, these elite networks. I hope one can only hope that we might see some revelations in that. What do you think?
Yeah. But well, essentially in the context of what we've talked about today, I think a way to make it easier for people to understand in the context of the Epstein scandal is that in the age of warrantless mass surveillance, the type of sex blackmail in which Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell engaged for many years is now irrelevant because they can just harvest all of that from your devices, or even if you don't engage in that activity, they can plant it on your devices and frame you, right? So there's plenty of ways to get people to be compliant to the powers that be, the deep state, without having any sort of in-person sexual blackmail activity take place. And I think ultimately that's why someone like Epstein became expendable by the time it rolled around to 2019, because, you know, such technology has become ubiquitous and people's entire lives are digital. And you have these companies like Palantir sucking all of that data up and using it to analyze people. MainCore actually, according to people that had intimate knowledge of it, was used to blackmail politicians, for example. So it's very possible that some of this NSA warrantless surveillance has served a similar purpose. And I think we would be naive to think that people in Congress today haven't been blackmailed by other means than Epstein per se. So essentially, the nature of blackmail, as the intelligence agencies have used it historically, has undergone a massive change with the advent of technology. And I think that's why you see people like Epstein and Maxwell pivoting so intensely towards Silicon Valley, specifically after Epstein's first arrest, and getting involved with these companies that have mass access and mass control over people's data, because you can blackmail people with their data now.
Right. Instead of luring them to your island where there just happen to be underage girls. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to just plant the stuff on someone's
device.
And
cheaper.
Right. Wow. Yep. Unbelievable. I hadn't thought of that part of it, but you're absolutely right. Whitney Webb, thank you so much, as always, for this. We'll continue to watch this. I'd love to have you back on as we get more details about. I would really love to figure out what's going to be unfolding in these Mel Gibson documentaries and how this is connected to this broader elite sex trafficking ring as well, and what sort of connections that has. I know that's something you've been passionate in covering as well. So thank you so much for joining us today for this piece of the story, and we'll have you back real soon. As always, great to see you.
Thanks. Likewise. Take care.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm just thinking about this main core stuff. It's
just terrifying.
It is terrifying. You know, to think that this has been around for decades, and that we thought it went away, but it's still being used. That the government deems certain Americans subversive, and that they have this entire list of people that they just can actually, you know, go after and go. It's really terrifying.
Well, that in the fact is tied to 911 calls. I mean, that's just like, that's one of the, like, that was crazy. I'm like, you're kidding me. Like, so if you're calling into 911 because of an emergency, like that's where they choose to steal your information. That's insane.
Yeah. They take you, you know, you're calling in and you're ceding your liberty somehow. And they're taking your information like that. In those situations, it's unbelievable. I think also, I mean, so interesting is what she just said, which is this idea of, well, they don't need the traditional way that Epstein used to do it and his, you know, whatever CIA friends, which is like lure people to an island, have young women there, capture them in compromising positions or whatever, and store those videos, store that blackmail to use against that person. Now they don't even have to do that. They don't even have to go to all of those lengths to do that, to have you travel. They can just do it remotely now. It's really terrifying.
It's just insane. It just blows every time she's on the show. I'm just like, God, did I want to know all this? I mean, you know, you want to know it, but I don't know that I want to know it.
The rabbit hole says, I think the Redacted show should be run by Whitney. Just saying.
And you know, the sad part is
I'd be happy to do that. Go ahead.
The sad part is we're hearing about this small part of it, and knowing that if that's public, like, to think about how much of this is we'll never hear about, that is going on in dark places that we have no idea. Like, that's scary.
Oh, we just get the tip of the iceberg, you know? And when you go down this deeper rabbit hole, and you realize, oh my God, so much here that we need to uncover. Like we talked about that Mel Gibson documentary, I'm hoping that 4-part documentary, and we'll learn a lot about this. We've got more news to get to here on your Tuesday. It is a testicle Thursday, not Tuesday. It's it sounds better saying Tuesday.
It's still alliterative.
Somebody said that, I was like, well, that works for Tuesday. We got to.
Yeah, I know. Taco Tuesday. But it's just a men's only night tonight. Natalie is off tonight. But hey, we had Whitney here. So we had some female perspective here on the show. And you know, it's funny, Whitney almost wasn't able to join us tonight because her son got really sick overnight. So she was on no sleep. And then she messaged me and said, I can still do the show. She thought she was gonna have to cancel. She's like, I've gotten no sleep, but I've had a cup of coffee. She's like, I could talk about Peter Thiel in my sleep. She knows that inside and out. So she's amazing. Anyway, we've got more news to get to here on your Thursday. We're going to talk about this UFO whistleblower story, some amazing new revelations on that front, which we are going to get to, perhaps some new evidence actually that's been handed over to journalists. Do we actually have the vehicle? Do we actually have bodies? Wait till we talk about that. And also, we're going to talk about Justin Trudeau. He's back at it once again in Canada. This time, he's lecturing another country on how to carry out their democracy. We'll bring you that story. Justin Trudeau, my God. It's like once a week, this guy. Please, go away soon. Please. But first, are you an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks? And would you like 17 free stocks right now? That's right. So the numbers have changed a little bit. So what they're doing is they're giving away 15 free stocks right now at Moomoo, but they're giving away either a Google stock or a Tesla stock for free, and an additional AI stock for free. So that's 17 total when you sign up and make your initial deposits with our friends from Moomoo. This is it's only for June, the month of June right now. And all you need to do is go to redacted.inc/Moomoo to sign up. Now, for a limited time, they're doing this. And you have all sorts of powerful tools at Moomoo's disposal to help you become a more powerful trader. That's normally reserved for experienced investors, like customizable watch lists, advanced charting capabilities. And now Moomoo even has added a powerful new earnings calendar, so you don't have to hunt and peck trying to find the earnings schedule for your favorite companies. Moomoo has zero commission trades, and the app looks amazing on every platform, from iOS to Android to Mac and Windows. And right now, for our Australian viewers, you actually get an additional bonus when you sign up in our Australia network. That's right. Our friends down under, when you go to redacted.inc/Moomoo, they'll know that you're in Australia, and you're going to get some bonuses, additional deposit bonuses just for being in Australia. But hey, all of these things are available to you no matter where you are. That's right. So even if you don't do anything with these stocks, just let them grow. Why wouldn't you just open the account? You can open the account, make your initial deposits, and just let these stocks grow. And as that, you know, stock market bounces back and goes up, then you've got these free stocks sitting in that account. But I use it to trade different commodity stocks. And so I love how easy their platform is to use. Again, go to redacted.inc/Moomoo to get up to 17 free stocks, including either a Google stock for free or Tesla stock for free, and an additional AI stock for free. That's 17 total just for opening your account and making your initial deposits. That is, again, redacted.inc/Moomoo. Well, over the past few days, a bombshell revelation from a Pentagon insider, a whistleblower, who's come forward to admit that the United States has alien craft, off-world vehicles that we've been reverse engineering for many, many years. They've been suppressing it from the public. And this whistleblower came forward with a complaint about this suppression. Listen to David Grush with this complaint.
When you say crash retrieval, what do you mean? These are retrieving non-human origin technical vehicles, you know, call it spacecraft if you will. It's probably not the right parlance, but no kidding, non-human, exotic origin vehicles that have either landed or crashed.
We have spacecraft from another species.
We do, yeah.
How many?
Quite a number.
So immediately alarm bells go off. Is this a psychological operation? How legitimate is this? Do we, haven't we known this for many, many years? What is actually going on here? Well, someone who's been diving deep into this is Joshua Reed from the Red Pill Project, diving through emails and documents and sources on this to find out if this individual is legitimate or are we facing a psychological operation. And I'm thrilled to welcome Joshua to Redacted for the first time. Joshua, welcome.
Thanks, Clayton. Appreciate you having me here.
Absolutely. So, you know, I have to say, being around this game, the paranormal game, for so many years, and being around these people who've worked on these secret space projects and so forth, and to hear these revelations, my immediate reaction always is, why now? Is this a psychological operation? And many in our audience would believe that is the case. But you've uncovered some very fascinating information. I'd love for you to share it with our audience. And what have you discovered about this guy, David, and his history?
Yeah, you know, listen, I spent 10 years in the United States Navy. I worked on missile weapons defense systems. I've had my own experiences while in the Navy with these types of things, 2004, 2006 specifically. So I'm familiar with this. I've been studying this topic for well over 2.5 decades. I've been a researcher, investigator in this stuff. I do my own shows, investigations, research. And this topic just fascinates me, especially more so in recent years. When this broke, there was something that caught my interest, and this was Inspector General McCullough, who was his lawyer representing him. And so there's a backstory behind Inspector General McCullough. If people remember this gentleman was the Inspector General of the intelligence community that was testifying on the Hillary Clinton email scandal back in 2015 with Congressman Chaffetz in Congress. When he was asked what was in these emails, he came out and said, they're ORCON, they're SAP projects. I can't tell you this. They're classified. It's a need to know. Only me and my team had a summary briefing on these SAP programs. We learned from the Horowitz report, Hillary Clinton had metadata, sending it to an email address that was tied to potentially a Chinese company. And that's kind of where these emails were floating around going to China. My research for the last 4 years has uncovered what potentially was in those emails Hillary Clinton was forwarding and replying to. And what we find is we know that they're somehow connected to SAP programs, special access programs, the highest, most classified programs of our military, DOD, DOE, NASA. Well, when Donald Trump came in, him, Mike Pompeo, shut down all these educational exchange programs that Barack Obama had started. And so my investigation really started early on. I was looking 1998, Bill Clinton giving nuclear secrets away, 2006, various different nuclear incidences, 2008, nuclear incidences. And what we see this pattern of military technology being inadvertently traded with the enemy, whether it's China, foreign adversaries, or whoever. And so I started looking at this pattern, and I noticed that when Donald Trump came in, the DOJ began investigating various different colleges, universities, and professors, and started arresting them. Everybody remembers Harvard professor Charles Lieber, who was arrested, who was recently just sentenced. Well, he was one of many. The one thing that all of these professors that got arrested have in common is they all have NSF, National Science Foundation, tracks, which were special access programs. So by looking at this and kind of breaking it down, we come to find out that Hillary Clinton, the special access program emails that she was sending to this Gmail address that were potentially being looked at by China, were the universities and the professors that were getting these grants to reverse engineer the various different technologies in these SAP programs. If we remember Bob Lazar's documentary, he said that due to the compartmentalization, we'll never reverse engineer any of this technology unless we get it into the universities. For the longest time, the other side of the deep state's been trying to get their hands on this. So now this revelation comes up that Hillary Clinton's emails were potentially selling this information to China, other foreign adversaries of these SAP programs China would come in, fund that university, bring that professor over to China, get the information out of these professors of whatever set programs they were working on, and then highly advance their technology in one decade to become equivalent with the United States of America. So Inspector General McCullough is this man who was read into these programs specifically. Now, Clayton, this is where it gets really interesting. I was talking to one of my sources last night about this project, or about what just happened with this whistleblower. This is what he told me, and he actually predicted that this event was going to happen. He said that there's more than one whistleblower. I think there's approximately three. The other two are the ones who have the firsthand information on this. Not only that, but they have the actual evidence. They have video, photographic evidence of what happened. And we know this because when they filed their whistleblower complaint, they had a fear for their life. They're transitioning out of their careers in the military and the intelligence community. They're transitioning into defense contracting. One of them knew the location of where these craft are supposedly stored. And so they feared for their life that potentially there could be pushback on them. And they felt the need to come forth on this. So they went to the whistleblowers intelligence community. They got introduced to congressmen. They testified in front of a group of congressmen. Now, we've heard of an Indiana congressman. Well, we can confirm this later, but it's from what I'm hearing, it's Andre Carson. Andre Carson is this congressman that they testified in front of, along with a few others. And the congressman didn't take these guys seriously. But what ended up happening is they pulled out the evidence, a DVD, and they showed these congressmen video evidence of intelligence community members communicating with extraterrestrials. After these videos were shown to congressmen, they were noticeably shaken in fear. One of them was holding a piece of paper and could not stop shaking. Another was drinking water profusely. And this is when they began to take this very, very seriously and introduce these gentlemen to the former Inspector General of the intelligence community, McCullough. Hence, he enters the picture as someone who understands these SAP programs, been read into these programs from back in the day, and is now representing these gentlemen. And there's more here too, but I know you got some comments on this.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot comes to mind here, right? So that all sounds legitimate, right? That it absolutely sounds legitimate. But then my mind goes to the cynical, I've just become such a cynical bastard in my older age now. Like, and I know you are too, probably in that world covering these stories, which is, you know, you see Senator Marco Rubio over a number of years, over the past few years, really publicly talking about this. I've interviewed him a couple of times, not specifically on this subject, but where he has wanted to extend, of course, the Space Force, the concern about this threat, right? And this is where I wonder if these guys are being fed this information. They're being fed this information to come forward in front of these members of Congress, scare these members of Congress on purpose. See, this is where my cynical mind goes, right? So they're scaring them on purpose. They immediately hook them up with the former head of the Inspector General. We've got a great lawyer for you. By the way, he's read in on this. He'll take care of your whistleblower complaints. Because as you know, whistleblowers very often have a difficult time even getting lawyers. Often even private practice is very difficult. So the fact that they got the guy to protect them in this way, you know, raises alarm bells for me. So are they being used? And of course, there's a long history of people being used, right? As it relates to UFOs, I mean, there's books written on it. Of course, there's many, many books written on that specific part of this. So what do you make of that? Just role play this out with me a little bit here. Am I being too cynical here, or is this maybe more?
Well, I would be right along there with you on this assumption, except for what I was told recently. One of these whistleblowers is a retiring Air Force pilot who was the pilot in the 1990s of the Varginha incident in Brazil. He is the one that went down there with the military, recovered the two alien bodies and the alien aircraft that James Fox did the Moment of Contact with documentary. He is the man who was there who did this event. He, along with the other ones, are the ones who provided this evidence. They've been in part of these programs for a while now. And that's kind of all I can say on that matter. But
right,
there is a lot of legitimacy behind these other two whistleblowers that we're not seeing right now.
So I want to talk about the whistleblower piece of this, because here's what I think. I think absolutely that's the case, that we've had recovered craft. I think in the sources that I've spoken to over the years have confirmed that to me, that we have recovered craft, that they've actively been doing the reverse engineering, recovered bodies, all of that, I believe 100% is accurate. The question I have is, what do they do with that information now? Why are we starting to hear about that? Are they going to treat it as a threat and get us to be scared of it in order to further build up the military-industrial complex? And I don't discount that part of it at all. I'm 100% in on that. It's the what do we do with that info piece that I'm worried that there some of these whistleblowers, maybe they're being used in some way, and that's what I'm scared about. I want to believe that these whistleblowers 100% accurate. They're coming through because they have real concerns and they are bringing this forward. What do you say to that? I'm just curious your thoughts on that part of it.
Yeah. Listen, man, I've thought about Project Bluebeam for the longest time, that one day maybe these people are going to try to utilize this technology to usher in a new space race, a new weapons race, to go out and, you know, to pump up the military industrial complex. Her name is Carolyn Roslin, who was the former lab assistant to Wernher von Braun in the 1970s on his deathbed, who talked about the originations of Project Bluebeam, of how they'll use this technology against us when it's really going to be us, a breakaway space civilization. I think that what we're seeing right now, and this is what I've seen in the overall global unfolding conspiracy, is that we have multiple factions that are rising up to the power base that are fighting against this westernized New World Order. We have the Eastern New World Order that's formulating, and you have various factions that are pushing back against it. And like the Donald Trumps, the Elon Musk, these people that, you know, are elitists, but they're like, hey, look, we're not all about everything else that's happening here. We want sovereignty. We want freedom. We want liberty. We want freedom of speech. And I think these people are helping to push this information to come forth, because the sooner people can learn about the lies and the deception and the secrets and get this information out into the public, the better it helps to bring down these people that deceived us for a very, very long time. One interesting part of this is one of the words that has been discussed within this congressional hearing with these whistleblowers is the word supernatural, that they describe a lot of this stuff as supernatural. Now, we don't have any more information on this. I think that a lot more information is going to come out over the next few days and weeks. But apparently, and this is coming from other sources that I've heard, is that a lot of the Mar-a-Lago raid that happened on Donald Trump has to do with some of these documents that we're talking about, documents on UFOs. And this pertains to the Hillary Clinton emails, because if you remember on September 6, 2020, December 20th, 2020, Donald Trump came on Twitter and declassified all information for Crossfire Hurricane and Hillary Clinton email scandal. He did this twice publicly on Twitter. And apparently this is what they were looking for. They were looking for this Trump card, the smoking gun that he had, his insurance policy. And apparently they didn't find it from people I know over at Mar-a-Lago. They didn't find very much of what they were looking for. And everything that they're saying they found, they're actually throwing into the mix themselves and kind of lying about. So this could get very interesting. Donald Trump said a month ago that 2024 is the final battle, that we are coming up to the end of this deception, this corruption, that it's either America moves forward or America falls into Marxism. And I know that you know that we're very close to this. And so right. I think that over the next 18 months, we're about to see a plethora of information start coming out pertaining to this topic specifically, because this is the one that really interconnects everything else, especially this agenda that's being perpetuated by these global elites.
Yeah, and I think there is, I think you hit the nail on the head. There is infighting right now. We've had that confirmed by the likes of journalist Whitney Webb and others. There's interagency fighting at the highest levels right now. And it may have something to do with the USAF and their involvements in secret space program pieces and the pushback from other parts of the Department of Defense that are not up on that and don't have access to what they have. So you have this really interesting infighting right now in the intelligence community and the Pentagon, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I want to go back to really quickly the whistleblowers and this idea that two more could come forward here. One of the complaints that I've heard, from a former FBI agent who I spoke to on this, said that the problem that he had with the whistleblower testimony or the whistleblower coming forward is that usually you have sort of whistleblower rage, meaning you're complaining against something because it's, you know, it's violating every fiber of your being in a way. Look at Garrett O'Boyle, look at the people that testified in the weeks ago in front of Congress, of course, for having their lives ruined with the weaponization of the FBI and the intelligence state. And he kind of painted a picture differently than what we were seeing from David Grush. What specifically is the complaint? Well, what is the complaint from these whistleblowers where they felt like their life was in jeopardy? They felt like that this was in violation of every fiber of their being. And I'm just curious on that piece of it. You probably have a lot more knowledge in depth on that side of it, given the fact that these other whistleblowers were involved. Could you speak to that a little bit?
Well, yeah. And one of my best friends is actually a DOD whistleblower. Certified DOD wow. whistleblower during the Trump administration. And he absolutely has that rage, and he was targeted and persecuted. He lost his clearances. He lost, you know, his over 20-year career in the military. He lost his pension. He lost all of this stuff. Ended up getting it back. And now he's doing better, and he's still got his complaints out there. With this, from what I've been told, is this was clearly about self-preservation, is that apparently one of the whistleblowers knows the location of where these craft are being kept, and it had came out into the public somehow. He had something had happened where it came out in the public, and he was afraid for his life. And this is what prompted that specifically. And the talk on the whistleblower aspect of this, you know, like Grush, he's 34 years old. His right. career is over. If there's no legitimacy to this and nothing else happens from this, he's done. His clearance is gone. They will retaliate against him. He'll never work in the industry again. The same thing with these other two men who are potentially working, going to move on to defense contractors. Their lives are over if they're lying about this, if this is bad information, if they're being prompted to give this information out there and it's not real or fake, they're done. And so there's a lot at risk coming out publicly about this information that these men are going to be facing. So I think that also brings a level of legitimacy to this story, because why would you lie? And if you're not knowingly lying, you're being fed this information, well, then at least you're coming out in good faith to bring this information forward. And there's got to be at least some truth in it, because here's the thing, is there wouldn't be a classified version and then a declassified version. There wouldn't be video evidence, DVDs shown to Congress, which made them noticeably shake if this was false information, at least in my perspective.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I had not heard that part of the story. And that does provide a significant level of legitimacy there to this. So thank you for that. And I think you're right about that. If they came across or stumbled across information where they knew that these bodies were being kept, where these craft were being held, whether it's Wright-Patterson Air Force Base or MacDill Air Force Base or these other places, and they knew and this information had gotten out and they were fearing for their lives, that could lend a level of credence that we hadn't heard before. What about these DVDs? And what about these craft and this evidence? Do we know where that evidence sits? And so many in our audience, I'm sure in your audience as well, would say, when can we see this video? When can we see these DVDs? Where is that? Will we ever get to see it?
So from what I am hearing is the evidence is their insurance policy. It is in the hands of two prominent UFO researchers. And they've seen this evidence. They verified it. That's why a lot of this is being pushed and the interviews are coming. I don't know if this evidence is going to be coming out into the public because it is their insurance policy.
Right.
But I will say that one of the most prominent UFO documentarists out there has this information, apparently.
Mm. Okay, I think I know who that is. And wow, that's fantastic. And I hope we get to see it, because for some people, they won't believe it until a craft lands on their house, you know. And despite all of the high level members of the military who on their deathbed have come forward about this program, written extensively about it, you know, almost went to their grave holding this information privately, where family members felt the need to even come forward and clear their parents' names because of what, I mean, there's so much now overwhelming evidence on this. But again, people want to see visuals. They want to see a craft landing on their front lawn in order to, you know, the day the earth stood still style to actually have this confirmation of it. So you believe in the next few days, we're going to hear more about this and we could hear from these other whistleblowers. Do you think that they will come forward, the other two that you spoke about?
I think that it's a matter of time. I think that they will eventually come forward, at least one of the other ones. And I don't know if it's going to be the next few days, next few weeks. I know there's another expose coming out this Sunday, I believe, from the debrief and a few others. I know there was an interview dropped last night from a French newspaper, which is kind of odd, from Grouche. He did an interview with a French newspaper. We know he can't be paid for money because of this information because he is a whistleblower. So that was kind of odd. But I think that over the next few weeks, we're probably going to have more information come forth. And this could potentially be the people that come forth that start off this cascade event. We got to remember, back in December of 2022, Congress said that, look, this is black budget money. This is not sanctioned congressional money. Anybody taking part in these programs, we can prosecute you. These are illegal programs. And so we're urging these people to come forth, because if we find out you're involved in these projects afterwards, we can bring criminal proceedings up against you. So this is another threat to these people who are working on these projects to come forth and become whistleblowers and bring this information forward.
Yeah, these black book, off the books projects not being run through Congress. Joshua Reed from the Red Pill Project, we appreciate you joining us, redpills.tv. Great stuff, really fascinating, and I can't wait to see more about this. I eat, breathe, and sleep this stuff. So I for one, am excited we're having these discussions here. And we're being adults about it. You know, gone are the days, I hope, of local newscasts at the end of their newscast doing a UFO story and they play X-Files music under it. You know, really childish stuff. Like, we're having high-level adult conversations about something that I think is one of the biggest stories of all time. So thank you for bringing this to us.
Thanks, Clayton. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And I just love seeing the comments here. I just was glancing at the comments. It's like, you know, so many people are like, I believe it, I believe it, I believe it, but this is a psyop. Others are saying, come on, man, how could you fall for this stuff? You know, and it's so funny to see the responses in this.
You know, I thought back to when Tucker was on the show and he was like, you know, you used to talk about all this stuff, Clayton, and now we're seeing it. And he just mentioned it on his first show on Twitter.
Yeah.
All of it happening. Well,
yeah, when I used to sit there, because when Tucker and I co-hosted Fox and Friends together many moons ago, you know, I would do interviews on Fox with different whistleblowers or different members of the military that had seen things and were coming forward. And I, you know, Air Force One pilots and others who would literally fry the president of the United States. Ronald Reagan famously talked about this because he saw UFOs while he was both governor of California and president of the United States. So he publicly talked about it. Certainly, you know what Harry Truman's take on it was and the documents that have come out on that. So just at the high level, there's so much of that. So I would sit there on the couch with him and talk about this stuff. And he had a hard time, so was really struggling with it. And then over the years, as he interviewed more and more people in the know from the military and otherwise who had come forward, he became a full believer in it just through fact-based research and in journalism. And now, of course, we know that this is all true. So I just love when someone says, how can you buy this? As if it's like a religion or something. It's like, well, no, just based on the facts, just based on the evidence, based on the people.
And I want to know, like, how could we be so naive to think that in a universe of infinites that we're the only fortunate ones to exist?
And you know? And this is the highest level?
Right.
Like, this is the highest level, right, like we've achieved? Come on. I mean, you would literally have to be an idiot. So when I see people like, come on, how do you believe this? It's like, really? Do you honestly think? It's unbelievable to me. Probability is not on your side. So, but I would love to say to the people that say, come on, man, what? Well, then disprove it. I mean, we have a number of people who've literally have the top level clearance who've come forward on this. Eyewitness testimony, thousands upon thousands of people who members of the police force, L.A. Marzulli. I mean, the list is endless. The people that have with credibility who've been, you know, highly credible in this. So,
well, at the very least, you can't prove a negative. And so like you, at the very least, it could either be, you know, the evidence suggests that this is happening, or like I haven't seen enough evidence to be convinced. But you can't just flat out say like, no, that's not happening, because you can never prove a negative.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You just can't.
This thing, Peter left to clear their conscience, admitted that they were part of high level programs that they weren't allowed to talk about till their death. And they did and told their children, like Philip Corso, Colonel Corso, just one example. Anyway, fascinating stuff. And that's why we have these discussions here. But we'll be watching this. I want to see these other whistleblowers come forward. And people are in the chat were wondering, well, what, you know, UFO researcher has access to this information? I highly doubt that it's Tom from Blink 182. I saw somebody saying that from Blink 182. I highly doubt it. Tom DeLong. I highly doubt that that's the case. That's, you know, I mean, like full on real journalists. I'm talking maybe like George Knapp, perhaps, or others. So James Fox or others. I would really hope that that's the case. So we've got more
you
news
have it,
to
don't
get
you?
To. I wish. yes, I really wish I had those DVDs. I would love to see that stuff. So we're here on Rumble. Good to see all of you guys. And we're going to do our members-only live stream here in just a few minutes.
Yeah,
just
we're live on Locals right now, too, and Twitter.
Sweet, and Twitter as well. All right, well, let's just do... Let me tell you about our sponsor, our friends over. Our sponsor today is TacRite with their mini chainsaw. Look at this thing. I want one of these so badly. I want the mini chainsaw. 50% discount right now for our viewers. TacRite. Look at this. And it's battery powered. It's unbelievable. And to be able to just go out in the backyard, I've got a whole bunch of brush that I need to take care of, actually, in areas where there's not any power. Just small branches and stuff like that, stuff that you just don't want to have to deal with, getting out the fuel and the gasoline and filling it up right now. This is the new mini chainsaw, the TacRite. It's mind blowing. Makes tree trimming easier and twice as fast. This is the easiest chainsaw to use that can even be operated with one hand. You don't even have to deal with the bulky chainsaws to get the job done. Thousands of Americans have bought this mini chainsaw at the full retail price. However, for our viewers, we're able to get you 50% off. Hey, Father's Day coming up. Get them the TacRite.
Oh, yeah.
I want one of these.
I want that for Father's Day.
I do, too. Yeah. I do, too. Grab your mini chainsaw, 50% off right now, and free shipping with your purchase today. 50% off. All you need to do, here's the website on the screen. It's TacRiteRedacted.com. So it's TacRiGht, redacted.com. That's Tac, TacRite, RIGHT, redacted.com, TacRite.com. Orders will ship within one business day from their warehouse in New York. Again, that's TacRiteRedacted.com. 50% off right now. There you go. Thanks to TacRite. All right, let's talk about Canada. Let's go north of the border. Hey, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau wants you to know what he stands for, and he stands for this.
I will never apologize for standing up for an LGBTQ. 2+ kids' rights.
That's by the way, LGBTQ is a great password for your computer. If you're thinking about changing your password or updating your password, that's a great one, because no one will ever get that one, including Justin Trudeau. And he means it, even if it costs him popularity points on the world stage. A few weeks ago, Justin Trudeau was called a buffoon in the Italian press for lecturing Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni about LGBT policy. This week, he buffooned again to Polish Prime Minister Morawiecki, who he did so in private to prevent another headline like this, which was the headline, of course, in Italy. And I know I would probably pronounce the Polish Prime Minister's name wrong on the fly like that. Morawiecki. I don't say it enough to have it flow off the tongue like my Polish friends growing up, Slagowski. Like I could float, that could flow off the tongue. Anyway, the translation in Italian on this headline was this buffoon wants to give us a lecture. And there he was in blackface. Questo buffone. Above that, they call him the Merchant of Wombs. And below it in this headline, they say Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau says he's worried about the treatment of gay people in Italy. This is the same guy who went in blackface and allows surrogacy. So Italy didn't like him mansplaining democracy to Giorgia Meloni. This earned him this meme with Italian Prime Minister. This is a great photo where she's like, what is this guy talking about? Really? He's lecturing me? He's lecturing me?
I just love this.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is great. So when he took it up, and I love how he's sitting, too. So when he took it upon himself to mansplain gay rights to Poland, he did so in private, but he bragged about doing it in public. So he told everyone behind closed doors that he was mansplaining about gay rights. But then he went out to the podium to let everyone know that this is the kind of person he is. Watch this.
You've criticized the Italian prime minister on similar issues. Why are you silent on Poland's record? And if the Polish prime minister wants to weigh on his government's record as well, thank you.
As is always the practice for Canadian governments, for my government, we bring up human rights concerns with friends, allies, and challenging partners around the world. And as friends, Canada and Poland will always have frank conversations on the things we're doing together and places where we raise concerns. I certainly raised concerns that we have around some of the reports coming out of Poland around LGBT rights, around democracy, and we had a frank conversation, as must be the case. We will continue to work together on a broad range of things, but we will continue to be there to stand up for the values that matter as well.
Now, remember, Trudeau called people who were against COVID vaccine mandates extremists, misogynists, and he also called them racist. So if you were against COVID mandates, vaccine mandates, you are a racist. Okay, follow the logic there, but that's what he said. And he refused to meet with protesters last year who just wanted to discuss vaccine mandates for workers. He wouldn't have those meetings. By that logic, then, he shouldn't be meeting with Poland at all, because Poland declared a force majeure last year to stop paying for Pfizer's COVID vaccines. That's right. Poland has no rationale to invoke force majeure in Pfizer vaccine deal, EU official says. A force majeure, of course, refers to an unforeseen, unavoidable catastrophe that keeps one party from holding up their end of the bargain. Like a singer who can't give a live concert because there was a hurricane. Not only did Poland say they would not pay for vaccines, they also said they wouldn't receive any more either. Here's why. Poland invoked the force majeure clause in the contract with Pfizer in the wake of the war in Ukraine, which saw an influx of about 3 million Ukrainian refugees in the country. They are currently fighting this in European courts. So if people who fight back against vaccine rules and mandates are extremists and racists and misogynists, why meet with Poland at all? Like, what's the purpose to get together with them in the first place? I wonder if someone might ask him that, actually, the next time they get a chance to. Trudeau kept a smiley face, though, when meeting with the prime minister, even though he was protested by his own people during their lunch. So they all went in to have this lunch, and his own people came out to protest. Watch this amazing moment. Face the people. Face the people, face the people. You have three lines of police cars blocking the entrance of this building, with all of those police blocking the entranceway into that restaurant. Face the people. When are you going to let us meet with you? Unbelievable. So there it is. Once again, Justin Trudeau going to another country, going to meeting with another leader to explain how democracy works and how to lecture the rest of the world on freedoms. It's unbelievable. It really is. In a country where they are literally taking freedoms away, we have people reaching out to us saying that, like, our show is blocked to them now, blocked and banned in Canada, where they're not, the only way they're able to access watching our show is through a VPN. Like, this is Canada. This is Canada. This isn't the Soviet Union. No, this is Canada. This is what's happening there. Let us know if you're able to see the show in Canada, if you're watching us right now, if you've been able to get on a VPN or whatever. We've heard this from a number of Canadian viewers now. So that's your democracy. It's meeting with, you know, blocking and seizing the bank accounts of truckers who simply were standing up for their rights to not be forced to be vaccinated by your government. This is Canada. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below. We are going to do our members only live stream now. So if you are a member, if you are a channel member, if you are a Redacted Rebel VIP, someone who supports us here locally, supports us on Locals, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you get access to members only live streams, content early before anyone else. That is what this is all about. If you go to redacted.inc and you click on the community button right there, and then you click on the Locals red button, you can join Locals and become part of our community for the price of a cup of coffee once a month if you want to be a part of that community. So we are live on Locals right now. We're going to say goodbye to our broader Rumble audience, but come on over to Locals, hang out with us. We're going to have an after show. We're going to have an after party. We're just going to hang out and talk about the news and have some fun, sort of just like a round table. Have a fun discussion here and dive into it. So thank you guys for watching. On Rumble. Thank you on YouTube as well. YouTube shut us down tonight. We're not sure why, but we will be back here Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern time right here on Rumble and on YouTube as well and on Twitter as well. But again, we're going to do our members-only live stream right now. So good night, Rumble.